This evening, we are going to continue to study the book of Acts. In page E4, in the book of Acts, there are a lot of first incidents. The first miracle was performed before the gate of beauty. And the first persecution arised because of the first miracle happened. And the first one being punished by God to death in the church history was the Ananias and his wife. So a lot of first incidents in the book of Acts. So the first incident give a lot of insight. Just like we read the book of Genesis, a lot of things happen, the first time happened in the book of Genesis, and give a lot of truth to find out there. And eventually, the persecution died down because of Gamaliel's advice. He was a well-educated person, and he was a Pharisee. And the reason he was able to give advice to resolve that issue, first one, number eight, because he did not have a heart of hatred. Do you know once a person has a heart of hatred or bitterness, the person will be blinded. You cannot keep yourself in a very neutral stance to judge a matter. So even though he was a Pharisee, a lot of Pharisees persecute Christian, but in his heart, you can see he was neutral. He did not have hatred. That was the reason he was able to advise the congregation what to do. So we see some of the people, they express some opinion about an issue. They give some suggestion about an issue. But you can see the suggestion or the opinion are biased. Why? Because their mentality is not neutral. There's something hidden inside their mentality. So they think about things. They try to resolve an issue. Their suggestion is not neutral. So we have to learn a good lesson from Gamaliel. He was a person who has common sense. And he learned a great wisdom from the history. So he spoke with a righteous. He was a pretty righteous person. The only shortcoming is he did not know the salvation of Jesus Christ. So he observed quietly and dealt carefully. Now, this is also one of the important disciplines we need to have. Observe quietly means you can see the nature of a matter. So you need to calm down yourself and to look and to think, to figure out what is the root of the problem. So he observed quietly. And he dealt with the issue carefully. So after he thought a lot, and then he gave a suggestion. So he used a previous example to exhort the people. Now we come to the first martyrdom of Stephen. The first one being persecuted to death and died for Christ in the church history was Stephen. In the church, we have quite a few of Stephen, right? Maybe they have a determination to follow this one. In chapter 6, we see F1, the seven virtues of Stephen. Now, if we look into Stephen's life, he has seven virtues. The first one is kindness. The second one is power. And the third one is wisdom. The fourth one is Holy Spirit. The fifth one is knowledge. The sixth one is good reputation. And the last one, he did have the love. So all this kind of virtue are actually coming from the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So if we want to study the case of Stephen, one issue related is, what does that mean to be filled by the Holy Spirit, right? In a very superficial definition, being filled by the Holy Spirit means you speak in tongue fluently, your body vibrates violently, then you are filled by the Holy Spirit. But that was a very superficial meaning. So some of the members question, you see, which members, before they kneel down, the body shake heavily, right? When they pray with a very loud voice, but after they get up from prayer, they go back home, start to fight with their family. Even in the church, they start to argue with some church member. Then somebody is questioned, is that called being filled by the Holy Spirit? So how can we define whether we have been filled by the Holy Spirit or not? I think Stephen is a perfect study. What does that mean to be filled by the Holy Spirit? Because Ephesians chapter 4 say, do not be get drunk, because you are getting drunk will lead into debauchery, but being filled by the Holy Spirit. So what does that mean, being filled by the Holy Spirit? In chapter 6, verse 7 was chosen to distribute the food. One of the conditions was to be filled by the Holy Spirit. The first one, we have to know that Stephen have is chapter 6. Now let's come back to chapter 6, verse 8. Acts chapter 6, verse 8. So Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs and among the people. You say Stephen, full with power and faith. So the first definition, what does that mean, being filled by the Holy Spirit? When a person being filled by the Holy Spirit, the first one, the person is going to be filled by the power of God. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 say, when the Holy Spirit come to you, you will receive the power from above. So when Stephen was filled with the Holy Spirit, he was filled with divine power. And because of divine power, he was able to perform wonders and signs and miracles among the people. So when a person filled by the Holy Spirit, you can see the person has power. And one of the manifestations of the power is the prayer will become very effective. And the life will be filled with the grace of God. Because when the prayer becomes effective, your life will be filled with the grace of God. So in the Psalm chapter 23, say, my cup overflow, right? He anointed me and my cup overflow. So the Holy Spirit is just like oil, right? And we are like a cup. When the Holy Spirit fills up, then if the cup is full and the water or oil is overflow to the table, overflow whole room. So if the person being filled by the Holy Spirit, the grace of God will be overflow to your family. So if one family had one person being filled by the Holy Spirit, all the family is going to enjoy a lot of blessing. One day a sister told me, when her mother was quite young, when her mother was still alive, at that time she was quite young, she said, I seldom pray, but I receive a lot of grace. I asked her why, what happened. Because her mother liked to pray, always pray for a long time, being filled by the Holy Spirit. So through the prayer of the mother, the whole family received the grace of God. So do you know, if you, one family, one person be filled by the Holy Spirit, you are going to see a lot of abundant blessing from the Lord. The same thing in the church. In the church. If a church had 2-3 persons being filled by the Holy Spirit, and the church will be filled by the power of God, the church will be filled by the grace of God. So how wonderful it is to pursue the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And through our prayer, God will listen. Through our prayer, abundant grace of God will be poured into the church. So this is the first sign of being filled by the Holy Spirit, full with power. And then accompanied with power is the grace of God. And then in the chapter 6, verse 8, the same verse, say, Stephen, full of faith. Now, where comes the faith? If we read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, talk about the gift of the Holy Spirit. And one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is faith. Do you remember there was a father whose son was sick and seeking for help from Jesus Christ? And Jesus said, to those who believe, everything is possible. And the father say, I believe, please help my unbelief. Right? What does that mean? I believe, but help my unbelief. How can belief and unbelief exist at the same time? The first one is I believe intellectually, conceptually, I know God is almighty. I know God can do everything, right? That means I believe. So after we believe for a long time, we heard about a lot of testimony. We are aware of the Bible. We know conceptually God will listen to our prayer. So we believe conceptually. But help my unbelief. What does it mean, help my unbelief? But in terms of my own problem, I really don't have the faith to trust God. They know God is almighty, but they have no faith to trust God. That means I believe, please help my unbelief. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe when you're sick, God can heal your sickness? I think none of you believe, right? God is almighty. God can resurrect the dead. When you have fever, you pray, God can heal your sickness, right? We all believe. But when you are really sick, what was the first thing come to your mind? What was the first thing come to your mind? You look into the directory, right? Telephone book. Where is my doctor's number, right? That's the first thing. We know you pray, your sickness can be cured, definitely. But the first thing we think about doctor, why? Help my unbelief. In terms of my own problem, if I really want to rely on God, I really cannot trust God. I still have a reservation. I still have a doubt. I still have a weakness inside me. So the faith actually comes from Holy Spirit. The more you pray, the more your faith will be strengthened. You know, in the Taiwan region, a mountain region, they all do, if you want to visit the mountain area, you have to cross Hanning Bridge, right? And to the other side, you can reach to the mountain church. But quite often, especially the sister, when they reach to the hand bridge, right? Suspension, that kind of bridge. A lot of them dare not to walk across the bridge. If you ask them, do you think the suspension bridge will collapse at the time you are passing by there? They say, no, it will not collapse. But how come? You dare not to cross. I just dare not to cross, right? They have no faith. There even a story, I think this is a true story, written in the Reader's Digest. In the beginning of 20th century, there was a stuntman who pulled a wire from the Niagara Falls, from the territory of United States, crossing to the other side of Canada. And the stuntman holding a long bar as a balance bar and walked to the other side, right? And walked backwards to the United States side. So a lot of people was clapping the hand, right? Wonderful, right? So this is a wonderful stunt show. And this man just say, do you believe I can carry a person and walk to the other side and walk back to this side? Everybody, yes, I believe. And then the stuntman said, whoever want me to carry you, come up. Nobody dare to come up, right? 1 minute before, you say, yes, we believe. And how come nobody dare to come up? I think this is very similar to our situation. We know God is almighty. God can do everything. But are you dare to trust your problem to God? Oh, I cannot. I don't. So we need to have more prayer, being filled by the Holy Spirit, then you can totally trust yourself to God, then you have no worry. Do you know? We have a lot of worries, right? When you reach to the middle age, you are the church board member, then your parents are 60, 70, 80s, all right? And then you have children growing into the teenager, all right? And you have a career pressure, a lot of job insecurity, and your physical body already gradually become weakened. So a lot of problems waiting for you. So if we don't have faith to trust God, you are going to worry all the days. So how can we totally trust God? You need to pray until you are filled by the Holy Spirit. You see, Stephen was almost stoned to death, but to him, he has no fear. He has no worry because he has faith. Now, that's called being filled by the Holy Spirit. When a person being filled by the Holy Spirit, the person will not worry too much because the person knows God is almighty and the person has faith to trust the problem to God. So this is the second definition of being filled by the Holy Spirit. The third one, chapter 6, verse 10. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. So when Stephen was filled by the Holy Spirit, he had the wisdom, he had the eloquency. Because of the wisdom, he was able to speak with the words which nobody can resist. So this is called being filled by the Holy Spirit. So when you are filled by the Holy Spirit, you come up, deliver sermon, it's not too difficult. That's my experience. When I was young, I was very quiet. When I look at people, I don't know what to talk. That's my, when I was young. So when I was in theological seminary, received training, the first time I want to deliver a sermon, I was so worried. What should I do? Because I seldom talk, right? And I pray for a long time. Then God moved me to have a topic talking about the experience of prayer. As soon as I stood before the pulpit, it's just like the running water keep on coming out nonstop for 15 minutes, nonstop. After the service time is over, then the message is over. So I truly believe if you are filled by the Holy Spirit, to deliver sermon is not difficult. So sometimes people will ask you, how long do you have to prepare a sermon? All depends. If you are not filled by the Holy Spirit, you are able to sit before the table, open the Bible, you prepare for 10 hours, still nothing come out. But if you are filled by the Holy Spirit, sometimes only 20 minutes, 30 minutes, that's good enough. You just give some kind of highlight. And after you come to the pulpit, right, the thinking keep on coming out. Inspiration from the Bible keep on coming out. When we are filled by the Holy Spirit, we are going to have wisdom, we are going to have eloquency. So if you have difficulty to bear witness for Jesus Christ, what is the best way? The first one, you have to be well-versed about Bible. Study Bible more. The second, being filled by the Holy Spirit. When you are filled by the Holy Spirit, God will give you the message to preach. No problem. So this is the second, third. The next one. Acts chapter 6, verse 15. And all who sat in the council, looking steadfastly at him, and saw his face as a face of angel. Do you know whose face is the most beautiful face? The most beautiful face is a face like angel. So when you grow into the teenager, You like to what? Learn how to wear the makeup. You like to make yourself look handsome. Oh, okay, that's part of the human nature. But all of them are artificial. Oh, the most beautiful face is a face like an angel. Oh, really? What does it mean, a face like an angel? Because your heart filled with peace. Your heart filled with joy. Oh, your heart filled with love. Oh, so out of that kind of peace and joy and love, faith, angel. Oh, you look at yourself, you feel very beautiful about yourself, even though you are not very beautiful, but you still look like an angel. Oh, right? So this is the most beautiful face. Oh, so when a person being filled by the Holy Spirit, oh, this is the most admired. Oh. You know, sometimes in spiritual convocation, youth spiritual convocation, I think even the NYTS too. The first, look at the face. Some have the TV face. Yeah. Watch TV too much. Wow. And some, right. They reflect he's an athlete. Now pray a lot. And some of the face look like the thief. Two eyes keep on rolling around. And some of the face look like violence, ready to fight. All right. So different face you look into the young kids. But after a few days of prayer, fasting, and prayer, being filled by the Holy Spirit, in the last day, you look into their face, a very lovely face. Everybody so joyful and so happy, so peaceful. So that is the face of the angel. And this is so-called being filled by the Holy Spirit. So we hope the end of NYTS, everybody, you look like an angel. I think in 1991 or 1992, we have so-called National Walker Seminar being held in New Jersey, Elizabeth Church. That was the first time we hold a Sacred Walker Seminar nationwide. Totally, it's around, I think, 40 or 50 people. Oh, 40 people. As soon as they landed in New Airport and New Jersey Church Board arranged transportation to pick them up and put into the church. 7 days, 7 days, never come out of the door. Stay in the chapel and the living area. That's all. Study the Bible, prayer, and fellowship, and sleep. That's all. Then after the 7 day finish, I think some of them come back to L.A. And the brother went to the airport to pick them up. Feel, you are different. Everybody look at them. You are different. How come they are different? Because after 7 days of prayer, fasting and prayer, they've been filled by the Holy Spirit. So look at their face. Feel they are so content, so peaceful, and full with God's love. And that was the face of angel. So Stephen, you look into the situation, he was wrongly accused. He was wrongly accused. How did they accuse him? Verse 12, chapter 6, verse 12. Acts chapter 6, verse 12. And they stir up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they come upon him and seized him and brought him to council. Verse 13. And they also set up a false witness who said, this man does not cease to speak blasphemy words against this holy place and the law. So they wrongly accused Stephen, right? They speak something against the holy place and the law. You know, the Jewish people, they honor the temple the most. The Jewish people, they were very jealous about Mosaic law. So anyone being wrongly accused to against the holy place and the law, it deserved to be stoned to death. So that was a very serious wrong accusation. So if you were Stephen, what do you do? Maybe you will raise up your voice and argue with them, and for your faith will be filled with anger, right? In the reddish color. If your age is advanced, maybe you have stroke in that very moment. Really, we have a true seeker in Sacramento. He come to the church and we look, he suffered from stroke before.
Oh.
But thank God, God cured him. And I asked him, why do you have a stroke? He was only in the age of 40. He said one day he fight with his wife. He was so angry, and he stroke. Really? Oh. So Stephen was wrongly accused, but his countenance was so peaceful.
Oh.
That because he was filled by the Holy Spirit. So when you are filled by the Holy Spirit, you will not get angry often. Why? Because your heart is very peaceful. There is a tranquility inside. So your heart will never be easily been stirred up. If a person very easily been stirred up, emotionally up and down, do you know why? Because the heart has no peace. There's no tranquility.
Oh.
Because the person are not filled by the Holy Spirit. If there is the Spirit of God filled upon you, God abides in you. When God abides in you, you are the most stable person. Even the heaven collapse, you have no fear. That called being filled by the Holy Spirit. You have peace. Now we look into chapter 7. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. Verse 55. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into the heaven and see the glory of God, Jesus standing on the right side of God. Verse 56, and said, look, I see the heaven opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. You know, when Stephen was filled by the Holy Spirit, he looked at the heaven, and heaven was opened. Why? Because he had spiritual eyesight. Oh, and heaven opened. Do you know, right now, if God opened your eye, you can see angel. You can see heaven. So Stephen was filled by the Holy Spirit. He looked at heaven and said, angel, and the heaven opened. And Jesus Christ stand in the right side of God, welcome him home. Oh, so he was not afraid of death because he already saw the glory in heaven. So what does that mean? When a person been filled by the Holy Spirit, the person is going to have spiritual eyesight. When you have spiritual eyesight, you are going to see the spiritual glory, spiritual blessing, an eternal blessing in heaven. So when you have that kind of eyesight, look into the eternal spiritual blessing, then all of a sudden, the world can nothing. Today, how come we love the world so much? Because we do not see heaven. That is the reason the world comes so much to us. One day, if you see heaven, just like Paul, he went up to the third heaven. He said, either my soul go there or my body go together, I don't know. After so, witness how wonderful it is to be in heaven. From that day on, his value changed. He considered everything in the world like a garbage. It doesn't mean everything in the world has no value. It means the value in heaven compared with the value in the world. The value in heaven is so much that anything in the world, in comparative speaking, is like a garbage. So when a person been filled by the Holy Spirit, you are going to see the person's value will change. He will emphasize a lot of things unseen. He will not emphasize a lot of things which you can see. So to be that called being filled by the Holy Spirit. You have the wisdom to understand the value of the spiritual realm. And the last point, Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, verse 57. And then they carry out with a loud voice, stopped their ear and ran at him with one accord, verse 58. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witness laid down their clothes at the feet of the young man named Saul, verse 59. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And then when he had said this, he fell asleep. You know, before Stephen was stoned to death, how was his reaction to those who hate him, to those who tried to kill him? Stephen knelt down and asked God to forgive them. What does that mean? Stephen had the love of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross, what was his prayer? Lord, forgive them, for they did not know what they are doing. Oh. So Jesus Christ was filled with love. He was able to forgive those who crucified him when he was cornered, when he was in the extreme agony. That's called being filled by the Holy Spirit. When we are filled by the Holy Spirit, we will be filled by the love of Jesus Christ. We were able to forgive whatever Jesus forgave. Ah, and we have no bitterness. Do you know nowadays, in family life or in the church life or social life, we are so easy to have a bitterness in our heart. We are so easy to have hatred towards others, to those who treat us no good. Why? Because we are not filled by the love of God. We are not filled by the Holy Spirit. Oh, so we are easily to be overwhelmed by the hatred. So all we put together, we understand what does that mean, being filled by the Holy Spirit. You have the power, you have the faith, and you have the spiritual wisdom, you have the spiritual eloquency, your countenance is very peaceful, and then your spiritual eyesight, to understand spiritual value, and then you have spiritual love to forgive other people. So this kind of fruit put together means being filled by the Holy Spirit. So if we compare with Stephen, we are not filled by the Holy Spirit yet. We still have a long way to go. I know in this past about 10 days, you have been praying very hard, thank God. But we still very far away from being filled by the Holy Spirit. If we compare what we have and what Stephen have, we still have a long way to go. But God will help us. So let us continue to pray hard. Now we see the teaching material, page E5.2. The speech of Stephen. He was wrongly accused. And how did he respond to the accusation? They accused them against the holy place, against the Mosaic law. So from chapter 7 verse 3 onwards, he keep on giving a lengthy speech, and the speech ended in verse 53. If you carefully analyze the content of the speech, you know Stephen was a person who knew the Old Testament very much. So while he was under persecution, he had no Bible at his hand, and he was able to recite the story from the forefather Abraham all the way down to the prophecy of David and the fulfillment of the prophecy, the coming of Jesus Christ. So he was able to tell everything one by one. Now, let us think about what was the purpose of this speech. He mentioned Abraham, he mentioned Moses, he mentioned Joseph, he mentioned David. And how come he mentioned so many people? He tried to make a point in his heart. All this kind of biblical story to him is still valid. He still accepts whatever written in the Bible. So by accepting what written in the Bible means he was not a person who against Mosaic law, because Mosaic law is come from the Old Testament. When he quotes so many spiritual figures in the Old Testament, means he accepted the Mosaic law and Old Testament. This is the first point he tried to make. And then the conclusion of his statement, he tried to expose the sin committed by those who tried to stone him to death. What was the sin? The Jews had killed the righteous. Who was the righteous? The righteous is the greatest prophet according to the Old Testament, and this righteous one is Jesus Christ.
Oh.
So you are the one who killed the righteous. So you are the one who commit sin. That was the conclusion. So the point three, the death of Stephen, heaven opened. So what does that mean? This is the most meaningful death. You know, there are many different ways to die, right? One of the ways to die, young man, you drive the car too fast, you have a car accident and you die. You go to heaven. Jesus Christ, your time is not ripe yet. How do you come here? Because I drive the car too fast. So you go to the heaven earlier, right? And there's another way to die. You know, too many nutrition, you have a stroke and you die. There's another way, right? Another way to die is what? Aging. You have nothing to do. Every day exercise and watching your diet. So you're able to live 120 years old and you die. But you do nothing. There's another way to die, right? Is there any other way to die? There are many other ways. Or the other way, in Australia or always in Europe, a lot of people, they commit suicide in the advanced age because of the loneliness of the life and the ailment cannot be cured, and they commit suicide. So all these different kind of way of death, only one way is the most valuable. What does that mean? When you die for the Lord Jesus Christ, and that was the most valuable way to die. So one day, if Jesus Christ counts you worthy to die for him, you have to kneel down and thank God because he considers you worthy to die for him, and you will receive the most glory in heaven. So according to the book of Revelation, God treasures the death of the saint very much. All your labor will follow them forever in heaven. So that was the death of Stephen. It was most very meaningful death. Point B, 3B. Saul was there. So Saul was the one who was delighted about the death of Stephen. So you know, before Saul was converted to Christ, his heart was so hardened. He was able to see a person being stoned to death, and he was delighted. The heart was so hardened. Even though he observed Mosaic law very much, but without the Spirit of God to move him, his heart was so hardened. Just like the Pharisees. They knew a lot of laws, but their heart was so hardened. When Jesus preached, their heart never been touched because the heart is hardened. And the greatness was revealed. His greatness was revealed. So church was persecuted and the disciples were scattered. Because the incident of Stephen, the church member from Jerusalem, scattered everywhere. And it was the will of God. Because of this, the Christianity was able to spread everywhere. So you see, 1949, when communists took over China, then what? A lot of people ran away from China. And 1979, a lot of people just migrate to other countries from Taiwan. Also, because of this reason, political reason, or because of education reason, or because of family reunion reason, or because of business reason, a lot of people move out. That was the way to fulfill God's purpose. Why? Because the true gospel had to be preached all over the world, and Jesus' coming will be at hand. So we are following the blueprint in the apostolic church exactly. So chapter 8, after the persecution everyone just moved out of Jerusalem and to preach the gospel. Number G, there are another spiritual person called Barnabas, the son of consolation. You please refer to chapter 4, verse 37. In the apostolic church, there were quite a few of a spiritual figure did really help the church a lot. So today, we look into the church. Really, God prepared many members. They really have a good virtues. Even though they are not as famous as Paul or Peter, but they did contribute a lot of effort to the church to help the church to grow. And Barnabas was one of them. Acts chapter 4, verse 37. Having then the, let me see. Okay, 36, chapter 4, verse 36. And Joas, who also named Barnabas by the apostle, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, verse 37, having then sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostle's feet. So here talk about Barnabas was a son of encouragement, or he was a son of consolation. That means he had the gift to try to what? Comfort other people. I think in the church, this is quite important too. You know, as a church member, they are heavily burdened. So when they come to the church, they need some kind of consolation, some kind of counsel. So some of the members, really, they have this kind of gift. They speak very soft, they speak with love, with understanding, together with a lot of testimony gracious words, comfort a lot of people. So Barnabas have this kind of gift. And point two, he was a good man. Chapter 11, verse 24. Acts chapter 11, verse 24. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the law. The Bible says he was a good man. So what does good man means? Good man means a person with good heart, good character, do a lot of good works. That means a good man. So he counseled other people. He also know how to utilize people. Two persons, very obvious, as serving God because of the encouragement of Barnabas. One person is Mark. Mark is second. The one person is Paul. Barnabas went to Paul's homeland, right? Tarsus, and to invite Paul come out to serve God. So Barnabas was a very great person. You know, when a person, if you work in a society, you are so much afraid somebody compete with you, right? If a company hire another person who is more capable than you are so worried, right? Because a lot of attention will be drawn into that person. Or because of that person, maybe you lose your job. But Barnabas knows that God's work needs a lot of good person, spiritual person to serve God. So he was moved by the Holy Spirit. He went in and to invite Paul to come out to serve God. And eventually Paul became a very important instrument of God. So what does that mean to us today? We should, like a Barnabas, know how to use other people. Because through our encouragement, maybe a lot of people will start to serve God. I believe some of you serving God very diligently, maybe because some people encourage you. So some people's encouragement today make you become a different person in the church. Barnabas is a good person. The second one is Mark. Mark even more obvious. Originally, Paul chose Mark and want to train up Mark as a successor. Right? Because Mark has a very good family background. When Peter was under persecution in the midnight, the angel led him out. And they went into Mark's home. And Mark in there still had many members praying in there in the midnight. So Mark has a very spiritual family. And the mother was quite good too. But when Paul chose Mark, and Mark followed Paul not long later, and Mark deserted Paul. Why? You know, you follow somebody out of fame. Oh, Paul was a person perform great miracle. Paul was a very well-educated person. So to follow Paul, I can enjoy part of Paul's glory, right? And this kind of motive is not very right, right? So maybe Mark followed Paul because of personal reason. But when he followed Paul to preach the gospel, in this town, Paul was stoned almost to die. And that time, Paul was beaten. And that time, Paul was persecuted. All of a sudden, Mark gave up. I cannot do that. Oh, so he ran away home. Oh. So after Paul ran away home, Mark ran away home, later on he repented, and he won't come back to Paul. Paul don't want to that. Don't want the young man. Oh. You don't have a good spirit. I don't want you. Oh. And Barnabas was a more kind person. So he had a good argument with Paul. And eventually, Paul chose another person, Timothy. And then Barnabas accepted Mark. And so Mark followed Barnabas. And eventually, Mark turned out to be a very good youth. Oh, so the transformation of Mark is because of Barnabas. Oh, so today, what does that mean? In the church, some of youth may be very weak for a period of time, look very worldly for a period of time, or sometimes even commit sin. Oh, we need some people like Barnabas, really have the good heart to accept the person and give the person a encouragement and prayer. For a period of time, you see, after the person gone through spiritual transformation, he served God and loved God even more than those who never have weakness, even more than those who never commit sin. Oh, so this is the work of Barnabas. Try to unitize people. Oh, have a very broad mind. Oh. Number three, he lead others into Christ. Chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 24. After John had first preached before his coming, verse 24. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and the great many people were added to the Lord. So when Barnabas was sent to Antioch, because of him, a lot of people believed in Jesus Christ. Why? Because he was filled by the Holy Spirit. Filled by the Holy Spirit means God was abiding in him. God was working with him. So being filled by the Holy Spirit is so important. When we are filled by the Holy Spirit, our work will become more fruitful. So a lot of people believe in Jesus because of the work of Barnabas. Chapter 14, verse 12. Verse 12 talk about Paul and Barnabas, through the name of Jesus Christ, perform a great miracle. Right? And later on, they bring the cow, oxen, try to offer the sacrifice to oxen, to Barnabas. And what was Barnabas' response? Chapter 14, verse 14. But when the apostle Barnabas and Paul heard this, they torn their clothes and ran into among the multitude and cried out and saying, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you what you should turn from these useless things to the living God, who made the heaven and earth and the sea, and for all things who are all in them." Do you know humans have the nature of what? Idolized people. Especially those who have great achievement, or those who are very outstanding. Same in the spiritual field. So when Paul and Barnabas perform miracles, a lot of people just consider them as God, try to offer a sacrifice. Right? If you are Barnabas, what are you going to do? Right, let me sit there for a while to see what does that feel like, right? People offer the sacrifice to me, treat me like a God. Yeah, that's human nature. We are nothing but human beings, but we like other people to honor us, like respect us, like respecting God. That's human nature. But when Barnabas was filled by the Holy Spirit, he respected God. He dared not to steal the glory of God. So he cried aloud, "Don't do that. You have to give glory to God. So this is a Barnabas, a son of consolation. Many, many good points for us to follow. So one of the ways to become a spiritual person, if you don't know the Bible very deep, the simplest way is just follow whatever the apostles do. Just follow whatever Jesus did. You do whatever Jesus did. You do whatever the apostles did. And then you will become a very spiritual person. Very simple. Number H, the ambassador of gospel, Philip. The seven people chosen originally in charge of distributing the food. But later on, they have the gift of spreading the gospel. So some of them start to engage in the ministry of spreading the gospel. And Philip was one of them. Number one, it was commonly believed the seven person was beginning of so-called the deacons who received the gift of preaching. The second, in Samaria, Acts chapter 8, the work in Samaria was done by Philip, verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitude with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracle which he did. So Philip preached the gospel, performing the miracle, and so a lot of people were converted. Verse 7, they even cast out the demon and healed the crippled. So because of this, verse 8, and there was a great joy in the city. And in the book of chapter 8, you can see four kinds of baptism. Baptism of fire means persecution. So Acts chapter 8, verse 1 to 3, that was a baptism of fire. So persecution is a very effective tool to purify the church members. So it's a baptism of fire. The second one is the baptism of the Spirit. The third one is baptism of water. Chapter 8, verse 14 to 17. Now we see chapter 8, verse 14 to 17. When the apostles who were in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the words of God and sent Peter and John to them, whom he had come down, pray for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, for yet he had fallen upon none of them, and they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they were only received the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ and did not receive Holy Spirit. One thing you have to pay attention, there are so many miracle, wonder, and signs happen in Samaria. And many people converted to Christ. And how come nobody received Holy Spirit? Right? Usually receiving the Holy Spirit will accompany with miracle and signs and wonders. A lot of people receiving the Holy Spirit pray hard, and miracle and wonder and signs is going to happen. But in the case of Samaria, so many miracles happened, but nobody received Holy Spirit. Then what is the reason? What is the reason? You see, later on, when Peter and John went there, they had known that, and they received Holy Spirit. It is God's will. The Spirit of God should come from the same source, same origin, come from Jerusalem. So the church will be unified. So is that possible? There are two true Jesus church, one from the east, one from the what? The jungle area in Africa. All they preach the true Jesus church and eventually merge together is impossible. According to the Bible, the true church can only come from one origin. Since the true church come from China in 1917, so you can never find true church in any other place. You look into the book of Acts, the same thing. The people received the Holy Spirit, received baptism in Samaria, can receive the Holy Spirit only when the Jerusalem sent the apostle there. and then on them, and they receive Holy Spirit, come from the same origin. And Philip, the conversion of Simon and his repentance, this is a work of Philip. And also the conversion of Ethiopia eunuch. Tomorrow we are going to continue. Let's pray in silence.